This is Social Entrepreneur with Amy Stanton and Catherine Connors, the author of The Feminine Revolution.
That's part of what we're excited about, because we want to spark a conversation among women about what authentic femininity means to each of us.
Welcome to Social Entrepreneur. My name is Tony Lloyd. I'm a former Fortune 500 executive, but today I spend my time with changemakers who are making an impact in the world. Each week we hear exciting stories of ordinary people just like you who are making a difference. They share their successes, their failures, and what they're learning along the way. Thanks for being with me today. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome back to Social Entrepreneur, and today's guests, Amy Stanton and Catherine Connors, the authors of The Feminine Revolution. Now, let me read you a list of chapter titles from this book. Be emotional, cry openly, be mothering, be chatty, own your intuition, express yourself, own your social power, flirt freely, be a dreamer, surrender, be agreeable, apologize, embrace glamour, show your weakness, be seductive, unleash your wild woman, be controlling, embrace the supporting role, sing and dance, be romantic, and love fully. Now, would it surprise you if I said that this is a book on how to be powerful, to be empowered? And yet, that's exactly what these authors have set out to do. They are taking phrases like run like a girl, fight like a girl, throw like a girl, and lead like a girl. And they're flipping them on their heads. And they're saying, actually, the way we approach things from femininity, they're actually quite powerful. And they even could be called for in this time of rapid change. We are in a moment of transformation. And I think this moment calls for the power and the gifts of femininity. So I don't want to hold you up from this interview very long, but I wanted to tell you, The Feminine Revolution, 21 Ways to Ignite the Power of Your Femininity for a Brighter Life and a Better World, it's available starting today. So run out and grab your copy, get a cup of coffee, and sit down and listen to this interview with Amy Stanton and Catherine Connors, the authors of The Feminine Revolution.
Hi, I'm Catherine Connors. I am the co-author with Amy Stanton of the book, The Feminine Revolution. I'm also the co-founder of Maverick, a creative network for girls and young women.
Hi, I'm Amy Stanton. I am the founder and CEO of Stanton & Company, which is a sports and lifestyle marketing and PR agency with a large focus on targeting women. And most recently, the co-author with Catherine of The Feminine Revolution, 21 Ways to Ignite the Power of Your Femininity for a Brighter Life and a Better World.
For a brighter life and a better world. How'd you come up with your subtitle then?
We spent a long time going back and forth on the subtitle, which is 21 Ways to Ignite the Power of Your Femininity for a Brighter Life and a Better World. There's so many different things that we wanted to capture. Most importantly, that tapping into your femininity in a meaningful way can truly change your life. And not just in the context of work, but in your personal relationships and in your romantic relationships and in your home. And so we wanted to capture this big picture potential for what the book can do.
So Catherine, when you sat down to co-write this book, who did you have in mind? Who's the person you're sitting there speaking to?
Well, I had both my daughter and my son in mind. Amy and I had many, many, many conversations. The evolution of this book is a story in itself. We're both really, really passionate about the subject. And I think we can probably both come back to the story that for each of us, there's a story of personal growth that goes along with it. But for me, the primary audience was my daughter, Amelia, who's 12 and a half, and my son, Jasper, who's 10. And it was important to me that it's that they both have a reference point for both. In Amelia's case, obviously, the power of her organic femininity, you know, but then for my son, that he have a reference point for the power of femininity as a model for him too, as a boy. We talked a lot, Amy and I, about how to the extent that this is, you know, to the point of the subtitle, a key to both a brighter life, you know, for one as an individual, but also a better world for us together. We really both believed, and I very personally believed and invested in this, you know, for both of my children, you know, that it is in getting in closer touch with the values and characteristics and postures that we've long associated with femininity, you know, for that better world, and that it's not just important for women and girls to be in touch with those values and characteristics and postures, but that it is for boys and men as well.
And Amy, in the book you referenced this, there's a difference between talking about femininity and feminism, right? Feminism. How did you sort of position those or sort those out in your mind as you were writing this?
We think the conversations around feminism and equal rights and female empowerment in general are super part of those conversations in other contexts as well. That said, we didn't see a conversation about femininity anywhere. And it's been an interesting process in that for a lot of women, the word femininity has negative connotations, which is exactly what the intention of this book was to break down those negative perceptions and turn what's a perceived weakness into our greatest strength and our power. But we definitely felt like we wanted to differentiate from the conversations that are already happening, which are much more about societal shifts and things that need to change culturally. This is actually an opportunity for us each as individuals to take a look at ourselves, define femininity for ourselves, and then figure out how it's serving us and if there are opportunities for us to fuel us in a deeper way. And so this is much more of a self-help opportunity and more self-development than the sort of broader conversation around what's fair for women. We really think that this is about celebrating our gifts and looking closely at the way we've been perceiving ourselves and probably holding ourselves back for many years.
I would add to that that we really see, you know, if we talk about the question of what are the conditions of possibility for female equality, for, you know, the goals and objectives of feminism, you know, and really believe that it's hard to have that conversation in its fullest sense. And it's certainly hard to make change in a meaningful way in that regard if we're continuing in a culture that diminishes femininity, right? In which we can't wholly and fully embrace the characteristics that have long been characterized as feminine and in most cases have been characterized as less than or weaker or more vulnerable because they're feminine. If we want to get to a more equal world, we do have to start with ourselves and, you know, to the lessons we're passing on to our children about how we value those characteristics. And so if we want a more equal world, then it needs to be one in which we're looking at the characteristics of femininity and saying that those are powerful values that we need to embrace.
We can all get this wrong, men and women. We can get this wrong. And trust me, I get this wrong all the time. So you could just put a period after each of those words, right? All the time, I get this wrong. But I heard John Kerry the other day. Now, here's a guy that you go, you know, who is a man that is, you know, hopefully in touch with what women are working towards and in the political sphere and all that. I mean, John Kerry seems to be one of those kinds of people. And yet he described someone as, I think it was whining like a 12-year-old girl the other day. So it was like a 12-year-old girl was meant as a put down to someone else. And so we really do need those sort of positive role models. And, you know, I love that you keyed in on the word possibilities, because this isn't about what we're moving away from. This isn't about a negative sort of, you know, let's do battle. Even though it has the word revolution in the title, it's really about moving toward a positive image of femininity, right?
Yeah, I mean, you honed in on a really important thing. Kerry was trying to insult Trump, actually, and he did. He went to what is sadly a standby, a real fallback, right? To derogate someone, to insult somebody by comparing them to a girl. You know, if you finish any sentence with "like a girl," it's rarely a positive one, right? To describe things as womanly, you know, is often meant as an insult because it's meant to signal that somebody is behaving in a weak or problematic or unstable way. And it's just such a cultural shorthand that somebody who we think of as a good guy, like John Kerry, just falls into it very, very, very easily. And that's exactly what we think is important to change.
Amy, back to you for a second. What was it in your life that caused you to say, this is important and I have to set aside time from my busy life to write this book?
Certainly, as I'm already running a business and have a pretty full life, it requires a major commitment. And it's exactly as you described, where there's just a moment where I sort of realized I had something that needed to be said. It took 4.5 years for it actually to come to fruition, but actually I've been thinking about it for a number of years. I did a TEDx Venice talk, which was at the very beginning of when I was thinking about it, and I wouldn't recommend anyone run back and watch that because it was fine, but really sort of the start. And I think I was struggling with my own personal experience of wondering if, because I had invested so much time and energy into my work life and developed this stronger, more assertive, more direct style, if that was potentially affecting in a negative way other aspects of my life, like my romantic relationships, and feeling like I don't want to be the boss in all aspects of my life. I actually want to be able to bring my sort of softer, gentler side, which is actually a huge part of me, because many people don't realize the extent that I'm this sensitive being. But I wanted to be able to bring that wherever I went. And I started looking more broadly at the women around me and seeing that so many other women were struggling with this experience of trying to operate like a man, to thrive in a quote unquote man's world, and potentially not comfortable bringing some of their own sort of feminine strengths to the table because they might be perceived as weak. And I certainly, for many years in the early days of my career, was told I was too sensitive, and I am very sensitive, and I also am a crier. So I'd cry at work. Sometimes it was appropriate. Well, I guess never really considered appropriate. I felt it was appropriate sometimes, and other times maybe it was a little much, but those were just different cues that sort of prevented me from, well, I'd say they moved me in a direction of hardening up a bit and just toughening up and feeling like this was the way I needed to be in order to thrive professionally. And so I went through this personal journey and had these questions and then observed the women around me and then met Catherine. I told a friend that I was interested in writing this book and starting to really think about it and map it out. Again, this was 5 years ago, and he introduced us. And we had this great conversation. We were both super fired up about the topic of femininity and the need for there to be a conversation around it. And it took a while, apparently. But then we sat down again early last year and we said, let's just do this together, because we felt like we could really align on sort of the greater importance of the topic. And it's been such a great collaboration and such a cool experience, actually, because neither of us have ever written a book, and it requires a different kind of commitment from everything else, because, and Catherine's done a substantial amount of writing in her life, more, and I've done a lot of business writing, which is obviously completely different, but, and a little blogging, but it's just a different world, you know. It really does require digging deep and committing to putting something out there and then feeling comfortable putting it out there and then just crossing your fingers that people are going to be excited about it. But we're getting a lot of really positive feedback. So far, so good on that.
Catherine, you have written quite a bit through Her Bad Mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if that's a great title, I mean, for heaven's sake, I would read that just to figure out what was behind that title. That is such a good title. Her Bad Mother. So, Catherine, what brought you to this conversation that you just felt like, yes, this is so important for me in my life right now, I have to say this?
Well, for me, you know, I am in my deep, dark previous life, I was an academic, and my field was actually the study of women and girls in the history of social thought. So I have an academic background in, you know, in the broader topic area. I actually left my teaching career, my academic career, when the blog that you referenced, Her Bad Mother, took off. It was partly, you know, my stumble into the digital world, into that world of writing, largely came about because I had become fascinated both as an academic and as a new mother about the world of public storytelling for women. So it was a way for me of sort of continuing that line of questioning. There's a lot I could say about the arc of that journey, but, you know, through a variety of, you know, evolutions on that path, I became head of content for the Women and Family portfolio at Disney Interactive. And one of the things that I was very involved in at the time was working on the Princess rebrand at Disney, and digging into a lot of questions within the Disney environment about the state of women and girls. As a former academic in this space, I was called upon a lot to weigh in on where Disney's marketing efforts might fit into this larger arc of female storytelling. And it was at that time, actually, that a mutual friend, a colleague of mine at Disney, Jimmy Pitaro, connected Amy and I, knowing Amy's interest. He said to her, "You should talk to Catherine," who was also very, very interested in this subject. We sat down and had lunch one fateful afternoon, and Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we ended up talking for three and a half hours, just fully falling down our own rabbit hole of, you know, questions and considerations that were a combination of both of our respective professional experiences around the topic, but also our personal ones. And so for both of us, it became this exercise in both unpacking, you know, again, professional issues that we'd encountered in consideration of questions concerning femininity, but also the personal ones that we wanted to explore as women who have confronted those issues and who look at our communities around us and, you know, wanted to answer those questions on their behalf as well.
If someone reads this book, what's the big takeaway? When all the words have dissolved, what do you want that essence to be left behind?
That feminine values are powerful, that full stop, right? Whether you consider, you know, whatever a characteristic that you might identify for yourself or in your community or for the world as feminine, whether it's a sensitivity or a vulnerability or intuition or a propensity for social connection or a tendency to be a dreamer or to be romantic, whatever it is, to look at that through the lens of power in the small p sense of personal empowerment, you know, and the kind of empowerment that can lend itself to a better world. That we are so, to your point about the John Kerry anecdote, you know, we've so internalized this idea that these things are somehow the antithesis of power, right? That these are things that make us weak. We even talk about vulnerability in the sense of it being something that sets us on our heels and that we have to be willing to sort of take what the world throws at us if we opt to be vulnerable or to be sensitive or to be emotional. And I think the thing that both Amy and I connected on deeply from the very, very beginning, and the thing that I think we would both say, you know, is the sort of the core message and core takeaway, is that until we can look at those characteristics and really meaningfully and heartfully embrace them and hold them close and say, you know what, this is a source of strength for me. This is a source of strength if I connect it with other women, girls, men, boys who are open to it in the community, that can be used for my personal good and for a greater good, then that's how we change our lives and change the world. Mm-hmm.
I read the book and I went back through before we talked, and I was just looking at chapter titles. So you're talking about things like romance and emotion and crying, and, you know, like I could see how these would be almost like taboo topics, right? These would be things that in a world in which you're trying to express power, these almost felt like things that one would resist if they were trying to demonstrate power in the world.
Exactly. That's exactly what we were going for. We wanted to take the true feminine stereotypes, negative stereotypes, words that have been used to basically demonstrate that women are silly and weak, and turn them on their heads. So actually developing the chapter titles was a fun exercise. It obviously really framed the thinking for the book, but really thinking of all the different ways that women have been described in a negative way, in a negative light, and thinking, what's the actual power in that? How do we turn it on its head there's so many examples, as you said, I mean, crying, whoever thought crying could be described as powerful, but we do. We feel that actually when you cry, and clearly there's excess potential, but when you cry to someone and you show them how you actually feel, you're really letting them in and you're opening the door for a deeper connection and a deeper relationship. And while we're certainly not advocating for crying on a daily basis at the office, even if it happens at the office, don't beat yourself up. You know, it's really, there is something good and powerful that comes from that new view of you, because maybe someone thought you were super tough and invincible and angry, and then suddenly you cry, they realize how much you care and that you're actually really passionate about what you're doing. So that's just one example, but it's really amazing when we started thinking about it, just how many different examples there are, how much verbiage just is used in such a thoughtless way. And many of us are even do it with ourselves, you know, and we might say to each other, stop being so mothering, you know, but we're in this book, we're saying actually being mothering is powerful. Stop being so controlling. We're saying actually the fact that you're a taskmaster and you're a project manager and you can control these things is actually a gift. It's a true power. So one of the things I think is really important to point out, because we recognize that there are these are freighted with these negative perceptions, and some people resist that. Some people resist the idea of femininity because they feel that it's a step backwards, and obviously that's what we're hoping to change. It is important to point out that each woman, each person that reads this book will have their own experience with it. So the way I would define femininity and the way that Catherine would define femininity for ourselves would be different. And that's part of what we're excited about, because we want to spark a conversation among women about what authentic femininity means to each of us, and create space for that to be possible, create space for each of us to step into our authenticity and to be able to show these qualities of ourselves, which are wonderful.
You know, as you were writing this book, what's something that you feel like you discovered that you didn't know until you sat down to express it as part of the writing?
I went through my own journey with this, because, and I think Catherine would say the same, we would laugh at times because certain chapters, even though we knew they were concepts that needed to be addressed, were really challenging for us. And so we would sometimes take a chapter, we would sort of divide and pass things back and forth. So sometimes the ones that were the hardest for each of us, we would each take a stab at, just because we felt like we needed to be challenged that way. But I thought that in and of itself was fascinating, because it just shows the complexity of the issue and also how, again, individualized it is. So I obviously, as we know from this conversation, I'm a crier. So talking about crying easily and encouraging others to do that came very naturally. But a chapter around seduction, which is such an interesting conversation, was more challenging and harder for me to tap into. And if anything, made me think, this is an area I really need to work on. And so it kind of shed light on a variety of different areas, even within this broader topic of femininity, that I feel like I personally need to practice. And one of the things that has been great actually throughout the process is I have, at any point in time where I've been coming up against something challenging related to the book or related to my job or related to anything going on in life, I've asked myself, instead of my normal, if I would tense up and get a bit reactive, I would ask myself, what's the feminine approach? How can I bring grace to this situation? What would I advocate for someone else to do in this situation? So it's actually really helped me navigate situations in a new way. And by the way, I'm far from perfect at it, but I think that was such a fun kind of realization, that I can actually continue to practice and transform my own life.
And Catherine, same question for you. So what's something that you felt, you know, you learned, or some place you grew in the writing of this book?
So many places, actually. I think there were some chapters, I mean, to Amy's point, and this is one of the things that made it a really a rich experience in co-writing and partnering, because we both have very different experiences of our own femininity and approaches to femininity. And we did, we would tackle chapters collaboratively, and we would have conversations where we'd say, I might say, oh, I think that's hard for, that would be hard for me, but maybe that's a reason to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And then end up going back and forth. For me, it was really, you know, I think broadly confronting my own understanding of my own femininity, and especially how I think about that in reference to my conversations with my daughter about hers. You know, she had at one point, I have to share an anecdote about this in the introduction, described herself to me as a tomboy. And we had this really interesting conversation about, you know, what it actually meant for her to describe herself that way. You know, and one of the takeaways from that conversation was that, you know, I really didn't want her to describe herself in reference to another gender. I mean, obviously, if she wanted to identify in a gender fluid way, that would be great. But her only reference point for her own kind of femininity was in the context of a boy. And so one of the things for me, both as her mother and wanting to have her expand her understanding of, she can wear motorcycle boots and be feminine, right? She can ride a dirt bike or love surfing and that kind of thing and be feminine. Thinking about how that applied to me as well, the ways that I've quietly had my own biases about femininity, about being quote unquote girly, and then thinking through, hey, what does that actually mean? Why am I afraid of that? Am I afraid of that? Like the chapter, you know, and Amy should weigh in more on this because it's one that was, I think, a much more intuitive one for her to connect to on singing and dancing. I had a hard time with, because I don't, you know, even though I would describe myself as a creative person, and at one point in my girlhood, badly, badly wanted to be a dancer and was part of a children's choir. I have a history of singing and dancing, but I have a very sort of visceral reaction to it as an adult. Like it feels just so vulnerable to me. So I had to spend a lot of time thinking about what's that about, right? Is it, why is my vulnerability, I'm a crier, I can be emotional, you know, in fact, you know, it's been only in my middle age that I've been able to really appreciate, you know, that my emotionality and my sensitivity are superpowers, but that like physical release, singing, dancing, release in my inner wild woman, that stuff is really hard for me. And so there was this really interesting, it was a really interesting challenge to grapple with that. And then, but then to also have like just the real honor and privilege of having a co-author like Amy, you know, who was really embracing it and being able to benefit from her own experience with it and her own processing of that. So there was both, I would say, you know, our personal journeys in writing the book were important to us, but I think the shared experience is sort of like a sisterhood experience of working through these issues that became more powerful, because certainly from my point of view, being able to see through another woman's lens of what an aspect of femininity that I was resisting might look like became a very powerful way of me finding ways to access it myself.
If people wanted to find out more about the feminine revolution, where would they look?
They can go to our website, feminine-revolution-book.com.
What's something you'd love to see the listeners go and do as a result of this conversation?
Well, I have two things, and then Catherine, I'm sure you'll have something to add. First of all, of course, we would be thrilled if they would buy the book, because there's so much in there that we think would benefit a wide population of women and men. And as we've said in the subtitle, we think this actually will really help on a broader level societally if more and more people are thinking about tapping into our femininity. And then a very specific thing, in addition to buying the book, is I would urge everyone to run out and take a dance class. Because as Catherine said, the dance piece has been really amazing for me over the past year and a half. I've really started to explore it. I hadn't danced since I was a child. And it has been an amazing parallel path to writing the book and really experiencing on a physical level how to get into my feminine and sort of let go in a way that I think dancing is uniquely able to allow. So go out and take a dance class.
And Catherine, what would you add to that?
I would second taking a dance class. I would expand it. I would expand it to say, if you know, to any listeners who buy the book, to find the chapter that makes them feel most resistant, right? And read it closely and think about why it makes them feel resistant. And maybe it's just not something that sparks for them. Maybe it's not their experience of femininity. But I would say that it's really, certainly my experience writing the book, and I know, you know, it was Amy's experience as well, that it was the pieces that we felt most resistant to that became the most illustrative and yielded the most inner work. So that would be the first thing. The second thing would be, and again, hoping that readers buy the book, that they talk about it with the boys and men in their lives. And that even if they don't buy the book, that they talk about femininity and what femininity means to us as individuals and as a culture with the boys and men in their lives. And to talk about why we think of intuition and emotionality and crying and being, you know, a dreamer with girls and women and what it means to rethink those as powers. I would love that action to be taken by people.
Well, Amy and Catherine, thank you so much for being with us on Social Entrepreneur.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been a treat, and we're excited to continue the conversation.
And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us today. You are the reason that we produce Social Entrepreneur every Monday. You can find the show notes, bonus material, and more at tonyloyd.com. That's TonyLoyd.com. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining me today. And until next time, please remember to use this one short, amazing life and go make an impact. Thanks. We'll talk to you next time on Social Entrepreneur.